Shut up and sit down.
Hello and welcome to episode 67 of Geek Grills, a podcast in which geeky women and sometimes guests gather to record topical conversation and then offer it to the masses. Please remember that the Geek Grills podcast is supported solely by our patrons. If you go to patreon.com/grills, it'll really help us out today. I'm September, also known as 9 of 12, and today I've got some guests. I have Linda from Glitter Dice Podcast with me. She likes to LARP and tabletop. She's also a DM running her own game of D&D that she's writing. She also fills her time by crocheting and teaching it and generally being crafty. Say hi.
Hi, y'all. Be the real Southern because we're from Georgia.
I also got Kelly, who is another host at the Glitter Dice Podcast, and she's an artist. She paints, which is cool. Wish I could do that. And a lifetime generational next generation nerd.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, Linda, for exemplifying the stereotype there.
My pleasure.
I'm in North Carolina, but I have avoided picking up the accent for the most part.
Born and raised, I had no chance.
Born and raised and not raised by Yankees.
That's okay. I've got my Buffalo accent. People pick up and they think, are you Canadian? Which, close enough. So what have you, Grills, been up to this geeky week?
Well, not only this week, but, you know, because we're guests, I can go back a couple of weeks. We've had a couple of LARPs that we've been doing, and like ATE, which is After the End. It is a kind of Western sci-fi LARP. I promise it makes sense.
All of Firefly, kind of.
All of Firefly, yeah. And then we also have a Garden of Destinies LARP, which is more heroic kind of fantasy. That they just had their year zero closer, which they were a new one, so they were playtesting their rules. So we got to kind of have a little bit of a fast track for our characters. They went from 0 to 400 points very quickly, and we just had a year to kind of play test to make sure the rules, you know, wouldn't break.
It seemed like they'll be fine until we get to 400. So
yeah,
that's fine.
So they're fine until we get to the really, really, really high end. I had a couple of classes that I taught, you know, with crochet. I'm finishing up a blanket. And I recently ran my D&D game that I wrote the setting for, basically, because I can't remember everything in Forgotten Realms. I don't want to remember everything in Forgotten Realms. That's way too much.
Isn't a crocheted blanket an afghan, or is there some technicality I'm missing?
6 to 1, half dozen the other. It's you can call it an afghan. I don't make the distinction.
Is that like calling soda Coke or?
Yeah. I mean, some people probably have very, very hard feelings about that. So I should be careful what I say, but you know, sure. I'm making an afghan. We'll say that.
I'm just old, and my mom used to crochet. And so when I was little, like, that was the afghan. So it was probably a hippie term.
I don't know. I mean, because mine's like made of blocks, like it's got little Halloween. I was supposed to finish it before Halloween, but that didn't happen. So it's got like a little witch block, and it's got a little like jack-o'-lantern block. And I think if it's blocks that you're crocheting together, it's not an afghan, question mark.
Like crochet quilting?
Who knows?
Okay.
Who knows? So what about you, Kelly?
All right. Well, in addition to Gods and ATE, we also ran a Simulacra,
which is
our LARP that we're working on with our husbands and our friend Brian that we run, which I've never run a game before. So that's kind of, well, I've never run a game that lasts more than one game or one session. So that's very interesting. I'm really enjoying it. And let's see, I gotta go to NekoCon, which is a Virginia convention for the first time in like 10 years, which was very nice. It's still very small, very just a nice little fandom con for all things anime. And they had a little bit of art things there, like a couple art classes, which I was very excited about. And just yesterday, we finished our 14th episode of Glitter Dice.
Yes.
Woo.
Woo. Oh, it was a heavy topic.
You know, we had a guest on early on in Grills that I think she was doing like a gunslinger type LARP. I can't remember who it was. I'll have to look back, hook you guys up later.
Is if it was like if she was down south with us, it may have been Calamity, because there's Calamity, and then there's
Dystopia Rising, which is all across the country.
Yeah, there's Dystopia Rising, so it might have been one of those.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of the game, because it was really we were talking a combination of her cosplay and LARPing and stuff. So let me see. Last night I went to like this Friendsgiving party, they call it, the local radio station threw, and that was kind of a neat surprise. Somebody had asked me if I was going, and I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. But my husband had apparently been invited, and when somebody brought it up to him, he's like, oh, hey, honey, I have this Facebook invite. I'm like, so I don't know. Invite the wives, not the men, right? Because people aren't going to even get them.
Tell us.
Exactly. So the planning kind of went out the window for other stuff I might have done, because it seemed like a really good idea to go. And oh my God, it was. Bleh. They did like 8 turkeys. They're like smoked and deep fried.
Just an array of turkeys.
and then I had to, you know, hit this buffet of food, and there was so much because everybody brought stuff. And it's seldom you go to this kind of potlucky thing and something's not awful. Everything I tried was good. I was like, wow, these Southerners, they didn't cook.
Yes, we can.
So what else? My husband did a couple gigs this weekend, and a really exciting thing happened where a band he used to be in, Enter the Haggis, they've been around for a really long time. He was in them when we lived up in Buffalo, Toronto area. And they booked a gig down here in Asheville. And we got his new band in the opening slot.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
So that's going to be really freaking amazing and exciting. And it's the Evening Muse, which is a well-known venue here. And so like, I'm all squee over it. People want to travel. I'm going to end up with like people crash at my house. Enter the Haggis is one of those bands that people get really crazy obsessive about and follow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's neat.
Like their last couple Kickstarters raised tons and tons.
That's cool. I'll have to look them up.
Yeah. did some streaming, trying to ramp that up. Made a few friends online, and we're kind of like auto-hosting each other, trying to build up our viewerships. So that's good news. And a friend yesterday, a local, dropped off 1, 2, 3, 4, like 5 giant bags of Halloween costumes.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Whatever shall you do?
Well, I guess you girls don't know, but I do this Halloween fairy project. I've been providing costumes for the homeless kids in the shelters in my town for the last several years. And this was like some people ran out and got them all when they were marked down and brought them. So I have a stock for next year, and I'm not pulling my hair out the last week before Halloween.
That is really amazing. It's one of my favorite holidays. So that makes me so happy to hear you do that. That's amazing.
I highly recommend. I mean, do this thing. I mean, people will help you. If you call your shelters and be like, you know, right before Halloween, like how many kids you got, what are their ages, so you can have a size range, and then collect the stuff and take it over. And they're so grateful. I mean, everybody piles on them at Christmas, right? Tons of food, clothes, whatever.
Yeah.
But I one year went, Halloween, man, these kids could go trick-or-treating. This is great childhood memories. They've got nothing. I mean, some of them just had the clothes on their back, especially at the women's shelter where they had to run. So I kind of became the Halloween fairy. And in the last couple of years, I've got a handful of local people who just want to help. So they'll give me money and I'll go to Family Dollar and get the cheap $5 costumes, or they'll just bring me a bunch. So it's grown a little bit, and I'd like to see it, you know, happen in other towns.
That just, it fills my heart with joy. So
yeah, we have a couple of our friends who were doing something similar called Fairy Boon, and they would
Brownie's Boon. We would being the crocheter that I am, we would make hats and scarves and things when the weather turned cold, you know, not just at Christmas. But it, the first, we just kind of tied them around. We dressed up as fairies, because why not? And we would tie the hats and scarves around like trees and benches and things over at the square, which is right near us. And it with the little cards that say, "I'm not lost. You know, if you need me, if you're cold, please come and take me."
Oh yeah, then, I've seen those kind of projects from crocheters and knitters. I think that is lovely.
Yeah. And later on, then we started just donating directly to, was it the homeless shelter that's down there and the women's shelter?
Yeah, mostly the women's shelter, mm-hmm. but I just, whichever ones contact us, like, "Hey, we need these items. Can you please provide?" Like, "Oh, yep, absolutely." So
we're familiar with that kind of thing. Just the Halloween fairy is very awesome.
Yeah, I never thought about Halloween before. That's great.
Start it up. we should start like a non-profit or something and just spread it all over.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So with that, it is time for the Geek Grapevine.
How does this work?
Well, I've got a link in here and I'll see stuff. And then if you guys got stories you want to share... Did somebody add one?
I did. I did add one.
Okay.
Because it made me laugh.
I'll hand off to you to deliver that one. Have you guys seen the new Deadpool trailer?
Oh, yes.
I enjoyed it so much. Like, I seriously, when I'm stressed out or whatever, sometimes I will go ahead and I'm on Twitch or watching the Ross feed.
Yeah.
Yep, the best advice I ever got in art school was just like, you know, these painting classes that we're paying several hundreds of dollars for are very good, but honestly, you just need Bob Ross. I'm like, oh, okay.
He's so wonderful. So anyone who doesn't mind a little dirt and sacrilege in your Bob Ross, which, I mean, we don't really, right? It's funny. Watch the new trailer. There's just little snippets. I think it takes a long time in to get to any of the action snippets of the movie, but it's mostly Deadpool doing the Bob Ross thing, and it's freaking hilarious. Go watch.
Deadpool being Deadpool.
Highly recommended. It's great.
So what did you bring us here?
Okay, so I saw this on YouTube because I don't have YouTube Red yet. I'm going to get it at the end of the month. Thank God. I hate commercials. But I still have the regular YouTube, so I get the commercials. And this this trailer came up, and I actually was intrigued by it for a minute, so I didn't hit skip. The Rock, apparently... is making a movie called Rampage, which is based off of a video game.
Oh my god, I love that game.
Yes. So I saw this and I was like, I can't decide if they're trying to be serious or if I should be laughing like really hard.
Oh man, that was that video game. I would come home, I would be stressed out. I'm like in elementary school, and I would hook up the NES and I would just play that and like punching. Every time I punched a building, I would pretend it was like I'm punching homework. I'm punching all this stress at school. It was so good. It's still one of my favorites.
I'm looking forward to it, I think, because The Rock is just, he knows what he's doing. He knows what kind of movies he's making, and he's just He's kind of like Vin Diesel in that way. If he's just going for what he likes making, I guess.
Right? Like, I gotta get around to that that new Jumanji.
Mm-hmm. It actually looks interesting.
Yeah, I'm not running out to the theater, but I definitely have it on my radar. So as soon as it's like a Sunday or just like
or maybe dollar a theater. Dollar theater, like later. Although Matt's getting Matthew's my. For those listeners that don't know, a couple of weeks ago there was another guest named Matthew Malice. He's my husband. Matt's getting Movie Pass, so he's maybe we'll use his Movie Pass to go see Jumanji and Rampage. I saw that trailer and I was like, okay, this just looks fun. It just looks fun.
Yep.
Sometimes that's really all you need out of a movie is just some fun.
Yeah.
There's an arcade bar in Raleigh. I went to see my son and he was like, we have to go to this place. So we went and it's so awesome. It's a bar, but they have all kinds of, they've got pinball machines and old arcade games and that like, the hockey on rails, and oh my god, we had the best time. Ski ball. There was a musician out on the patio. It was just the coolest place. I'm in love with it. And they had Rampage there, and he was unfamiliar with Rampage for all my kids no. being into like retro gaming. And I was like, oh, we pumped a lot of tokens into that.
Yeah, I'd love those kind of bars. We have one. A little bit further up the main highway from us called Battle and Brew, which is reopening with new management.
It was closing for
a while and people were very upset.
Yeah, it was like a big kerfluffle, whatever you want to call it, where it was just like they were closing and then they were going away forever and everybody was like, no, but the food sucked so we couldn't do better. And then now they're reopening. So
they're reopening. I think it's probably gonna be less so focused on food for a while. They tried to do like a high dining up class bar style, but still have all the video games and the karaoke and the trivia. And I don't think that worked out too well. So hopefully we'll just go back to just being an awesome gaming bar. Great place for a lot of our local conventions. Have little things that they work out with them so people get together and talk about the different cons coming up. Meet different geeks and nerds in the neighborhood. It's lots of fun. I love those things.
If I ever win the lottery, we want to open a geek bar. Like, not just the arcade stuff, but like have the drinks be like science themed, serve them in beakers. The things my husband and I dream about.
I mean, if I ever won the lottery, I would open my own LARP site so that way I could have it exactly the way I want it and have no like cliffs in the middle of it. Literally the last site we went to, our staff during opening ceremony said, don't go that way. There's a cliff because it was on a mountain.
Fun.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, well.
No pressure. Okay. Don't run.
Don't go out in the dark. Don't do that.
Have a flashlight. Be careful.
So also I was excited to see those of us who are looking forward, as always, to the Doctor Who Christmas special. I found this special little treat. BBC had done a fundraiser, and in it, they put a clip from the upcoming Doctor Who special. And it's got the First Doctor and Capaldi, oh, really being snarky at each other. The First Doctor does not like what has been done with the TARDIS. And it's... they did a really good job. He looks so much like him, and I'm actually enough that I'm surprised it didn't occur to me before. But it's like the cat-loving overseer dick from Harry Potter. What's it, Fitch? Whatever.
Finch?
Finch. Yeah, Finch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Finch as the First Doctor, and he looks perfect. So I do recommend... go in and watch this trailer. It's highly amusing. And the tease of our last Capaldi appearance we'll see at Christmas.
But I am looking forward to the new Doctor. I actually got very excited when I saw her outfit. I was like, oh, that's like something I would wear. Excellent.
Yeah, I've got friends who are like, that outfit is ridiculous. I'm like, oh, you didn't know me in the 90s.
Yep. That's exactly it. I'm like, yeah, I totally wore something similar to that in high school.
I mean, not so much with the culottes, but I mean, depending on your boots, they got to see your boots. Okay, so I guess we will move into our main discussion. I am really happy to have you girls on. I'm really glad we had your husband on, Linda, because then I found your podcast.
Yeah. Well, he's the one that told me about you guys, actually. And so I started listening. And because when, well, if we want to go straight into it, when I first started doing this, it was actually, it was Joey, our third co-host, contacted me and was like, do you want to do a podcast about women in gaming? And I went, sure, I got nothing else to do.
I think that was that about the same time or just after we had had the women's episode on?
It was right after, because Kelly and I and another lady, actually the three significant others of the main cast of Matthew's podcast had just done a women in gaming, a takeover.
Yeah.
for an episode. So she contacted me and then Kelly, I think, or was it you? I can't remember who was first. And I was like, well, sure. And then we started getting into it because apparently Joey had been looking around and couldn't find anyone else who was doing like an all women's kind of podcast, specifically kind of about women in gaming. So that may have been why she missed you guys, because you're not specifically about, you know, gaming.
Well, not just that, I think from the timing, what I've been able to discern, it was kind of close to the time we started. We just have more episodes because we're weekly, but Ladies of Leet had quit broadcasting for a while, and it kind of left this gap. You know, we wanted to fill with women podcasting, and I mean, it just worked out that we didn't stick with only gaming.
Yeah.
But it's hard to look for, like, just women. Like, we knew the one and they disappeared and we felt a gap.
Yeah. And so then, you know, we just missed each other, I guess. You're looking,
but it was in the zeitgeist.
It was in the zeitgeist. Yes.
Everybody had the same great idea. So,
so that's good.
This dialogue.
It's good. I mean, Jocelyn Moffat, when we started, she was there and she was like, yes, more women podcasting, just more. Because it seems like a male dominated thing, but definitely there's been more of us, and kind of just like gaming, right? Like, it's not, you're not the only woman walking in the game shop anymore either.
Yeah. I vaguely remember that might have happened like once or twice when I was like a preteen teenager, but as soon as like 20 something, like, no, they were everywhere and it was great and wonderful.
And our local.
Statistically, sorry, it's been a big thing like the last couple of years in video games. These companies are starting to realize how many female gamers there are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like our local shop, where one of our friends works, he's got a Katie there who's working with him. And so she's like, she's super knowledgeable and she's like super, you know, woman gamer, and she's, you know, works there. And so it's really
oh
nice.
Yeah, Katie's been with Titan Comics for a while. She's great.
Yeah,
I think most of the, like, even the one up in Duluth has I can't think of her name, I'm terrible, but like I appreciate stores like Brent, like, I don't think they're actively looking for them. It's just whoever comes to them with a good resume and knowledge about what's going on as far as like comic books and game knowledge, and really appreciate it. It makes it, not to say it was ever stressful before, but sometimes it was a little intimidating if like it's a shop and it's kind of dark and it's just all guys that are not really engaging with you, or they're just being very dismissive. It's just nice to have somebody be like, no, I understand. I'm also passionate about this thing. Let's have a conversation about, have you also tried these books? And, you know, really, yeah, it was fine.
It was definitely different back in the 80s. It was, all the shops were like that. But yeah, you're right, it hasn't been for some time now. We kind of fit right in. Recently I had a guest, my local comic book shop guy was a manager there. The owner there is a woman, and they are really, you know, nerdy. But Ryan was like, man, I'm getting actually more women in for comics than men lately.
Yes. Excellent. It's not just Sandman.
Right? Although, you know, That definitely sucked me harder into comics than I ever was before then.
Oh, absolutely. That was one of my my starters right there. Was like a Catwoman, because the second Batman movie came out and the Catwoman comics started about that time, and Sandman was already been out and was being released in different compilations. I'm
Sandman is beautiful. I love Sandman.
And I loved all the controversy. I mean, he's winning awards and people are like, you can't do that with a comic book. They had to like change the rules, right?
Yeah, it's like, oh yes, they can.
Yep. Fucking love it. I'm a little bit of a gaming fan. I have a signed postcard because I mailed it to him. I mailed him a letter and he mailed me back yay! Long ago when he lived in Scotland, which was awesome. But
that is super cool.
Yeah, it was like a friend of mine brought me issue, I want to say 6. Like, it was really early, and I just dug in hard and got the back issues, and I collected until it ended. I have all of them in actual issues.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we just have, between me and my husband, we just have, like, we had all the softbacks, and we actually, when they did the massive omnibus hardcover, we're still working to get all those. But
the big one with the notes?
Yes.
I have it. My husband pre-ordered it from our local shop, and then he never went to pick it up. And they were like, and I go in there all the time, and he was like, and they were afraid to talk to me about it because it was, I guess it was supposed to be a surprise, but it got so like they had laid out all this money for those, right?
Yeah.
Those aren't cheap. So I was like, oh shit, well, I'll pick them up bit by bit. They're really good about holding on, payment plan. But yeah, I have them all.
Kelly can see the collection of Sandman books that we have.
I think those are the ones we actually sold to Matt.
They're pretty.
they're wonderful. I love them. I love getting my friends into it. I like, it's kind of like my starter comic book offering is Sandman and Fables.
Fables, right. Oh god, that's such a good one.
It's like love comic books Fables. Are not all the frivolous thing you think they are, for one. That's why I think it's a good intro. I mean, I was studying philosophy of religion in college at the time. So the first issue I read was like the desire and despair descriptions, which is also like a path in Buddhism, like the whole philosophy. And I was like, holy shit. And then I'm reading about the sleeping sickness. You know, and I had seen the movie Awakenings, and I was like, I had to look it up. I'm like, this all actually fucking happened. And then Neil wove a story into it, and just all his little, like, the weird shit that when you're a nerd, you know all kinds of weird random shit, and it keeps showing up in the stories. You're like, somebody else has all this crap in their head. Awesome.
So I'm looking forward to getting into, Joey just introduced me to, what was it called? A phonogram? Yeah, I think it was phonogram. It's a comic about people to get powers from music. And I love music. Like, I went to school for music. I adore it.
Who's putting that out?
I had it. Hold on, let me see if I can pull it up on my phone. Because I had it.
Yeah, she mentioned it's a comic. It's been out for a while now, so there's probably a collection.
Yeah, let's see. Written by Kieron Gillian.
Okay, so it's an indie.
Yeah. It's Image. Website. Image. Okay, yeah. The Image Comics. There it is. Yeah.
Oh, Image.
So it's got its own website, phonogramcomic.com. And I'm really looking forward to kind of getting into that because, as I said, that's my jam. And you're talking about, you know, things being in your head that other people kind of get when they make into a story. And I'm imagining that is going to have a bunch of things that are in my head.
That sounds amazing. I am going to add that link to our show notes for our listeners. And I'm going to probably go bother my local guy on Facebook when we're done.
Kelly can attest when Joey told me about that ice squeed,
her face just lit up like Christmas. It was wonderful. I'm due to go back to my own comic book store because I think the next collection of Rat Queens is out, which is it's a D&D-esque world, but they're all girls and they're just awesome and foul mouth and violent, and I love them.
Nice. Yeah, I think my husband might like this too, being, you know, a musician and stuff. But he reads his comics on, I don't know if it's available on Kindle or whatever.
I don't know. I just found out about it last night.
We'll figure it all out. So so what else do you guys want to talk about? You want to talk about your TNG love? You want to talk about how it is to run a LARPing? Do you run an actual LARPing organization?
It's not an organization. It's just it's one game.
We do have a couple of sister games that are run by our, like, people that play in our LARP run their own games, and so we kind of have a little connection there, but it's not its own, like, org.
But we do also share very similar rules. Like, basically we just share the rules with a few tweaks for thematic purposes.
Yeah. Yep. So it's sort of an organization, but it's not got a .org on it, if that makes any sense.
Yep. You, me, and Brian are the new ones to this. Both Matt and Scott, the other two on staff, are our husbands, have run previous games with
LARPs,
previous LARPs, yeah, and games as well.
For our listeners,
sorry,
just in case they're coming in cold, tell them what a LARP is. I know I've defined this before, but it was a long time ago.
It's a live action role playing. So it's very similar to when you get together with your friends, you just have a tabletop game, only instead of rolling dice for random numbers, you actually
act your character out. You dress up, and in LARP, if it's not a salon LARP, which salon LARP is a completely different beast.
We're talking mostly boffer LARP. Boffer LARPing.
You make a weapon out of foam, duct tape, and usually like PVC pipe, but you make sure it's safe and you hit your friends with it.
Okay. Yeah. I was wondering what brand you guys were actually doing with these games, because I haven't played the ones you're talking about. So you would classify Vampire the Masquerade as a salon LARP, where you're using, yes, the rocks, paper, scissors method to resolve combat, but you guys are boffing. So you're actually whacking people with a stick.
Yes.
Yep.
Lightest touch system, so you only tap them. You don't use your shoulder and swing.
There are different games that do that. Just combat games, basically.
Yeah. I don't enjoy those kind of games, because you go home with bruises and there's not a lot of role play. So there's no RP in the LARP. I mean, sometimes they have, it's complicated, but I don't like those types of super heavy combat where you're actually attempting to, like, hit somebody into the ground. I enjoy our lightest touch system, where it's just, I tap you, you keep track of the numbers, and if I hit you enough, you go down, but you're not actually going to be bruised.
And also with our game and several of the others that also use the lightest touch, we strive to make non-combat a valid character choice. You do not have to participate in combat, you do not have to be combat capable, and you do not have to be a healer in order to be useful. You could be an alchemist, you could be a performer, a diplomat. We've got lots of other ways that you can have your role playing and never ever have to touch a weapon. So that's pretty appealing for most folks, actually.
Yeah, I never thought of, and I probably shouldn't even say it out loud, somebody's gonna get pissed, I never thought of the SCA as a LARP, but it kind of, it has an awful lot in common with it.
it does, because I know that they have events and you have character personas that you take on, but it is different, where they actually do more like actual armor and real weapons and live steel. It's a lot more role playing.
And they're about the history, yeah, too. Like,
yeah,
they
the
are
historical
doing
accuracy
stuff instead of a fantasy.
I think of them as more of a showcase rather than maybe a LARP. Because
yeah,
they're, it's very historical. Don't get me wrong. I love the SCA. I think they're awesome.
Me too. I was thinking I'm going to try and get someone from my local kingdom on soon. But I mean, this is the first time it ever occurred to me that the two, any similarities between the two. In my brain, they were always very separate. Like one was a game and one was kind of more of just a hobby and a lifestyle because you know, mm-hmm. study and you're recreating like, and actually combat. Like I learned to fence.
mm-hmm. Yeah, I always, whenever somebody doesn't know what a LARP is, I always kind of try to tell them it's a mix between like live theater and a war game, like a boffer LARP specifically.
I just start pointing them to media like there's an episode of Supernatural with Felicia Day, and she's LARPing in this one. And they go to the LARP to find a demon there. Knights of Badassdom also has LARP with a demon. I'm noticing a theme here.
Role models.
And there was also Role Models, yeah. Which is a very amusing movie.
Just, I have not seen that episode of Supernatural because Supernatural bores me, but I might have to watch that one. Like, my husband watches it without me. How weird is that? Like, isn't it? Usually it's like girls, geek girls, drooling over those guys, and I just thought they were really boring.
I really like Felicia Day, so even though I get Supernatural, but it's not my thing. I've tried to watch like the first season and a half, and it wasn't clicking.
All you really
but need, I love her episodes. So.
I mean, season one is like Monster of the Week, and then like two mm-hmm. through five is like the story arc that they were going for before they got super popular and just kept adding on and on. So if you want the gist of it, you can watch, you know, intermittently season one and then two through five, and then that's all you need to know.
I think what might have spoiled me was I was watching Grimm at the same time, and they were telling a lot of the same stories. It's that like mm-hmm. retelling of a fairy tale, but Grimm's approach with like, oh, the monsters are like fucking relatable and cool characters themselves was just so, it grabbed me so much harder than
I loved
dudes and their dude bro ghost hunting.
I loved Grimm. I love Grimm. I am so behind. I only watched season one and two, and then like I moved and I stopped watching TV for a while because we didn't have cable. So I got really behind, but I adored Grimm when I was watching it.
Oh, it's just beautiful. The characters are so amazing. It's the most emotional reaction I've had to a character. It ended up not being a death. It was like a dream sequence type thing, but like I thought they killed this character, and my husband had to shut it off for a minute. I yelled, and I was like starting to cry. I got really surprisingly upset. And I don't do that with like TV, but I guess I was more attached than I realized.
That happens.
Oh yeah.
I really identified with her. I am kind of the healer. So do you guys find that? Let's do along the lines of you guys, I've heard you discuss in your podcast, like getting assumed into a role, for instance, when you're in an RPG, like the woman's going to be a healer. Right? Is that something mm-hmm. you also think is finally changing a bit, or we need to keep pushing back on?
I think it is kind of changing, at least in our community, the LARPs that we are a part of. We have had some really badass fighters that are, I mean, one of our friends was a super like pole arm expert in this LARP, and she was fighting in heels. It was amazing.
Damn.
Yeah, I haven't really. I think it's starting to shift as far as like the bigger picture as well. Just the being able to have the option of like, I can play a male or female character. I can choose if I'm a mage, a rogue, a warrior. Like, whereas like in the 80s or even the early 90s, no, you. Majority of the time you're going to be this male faceless protagonist, and that's how you go through, like, I'm talking more video games now, but that's how you would go through your story, and that's the person. Like, that's why Metroid was such a big deal when took off the helmet. It's like, oh, you're a girl, that's amazing, girls can kick ass, this is wonderful. So
and it's the same with like dynamics as well. it used to be, you know, if you were the girl of the group, you were, if you're talking like five man band kind of stuff, you were the heart of the group. And that's not viable really anymore. Cause well, it is viable, but it's not a thing that, you know, media is going for. Like I ascribe the five man band trope to Stranger Things. Cause I just got finished watching it. And the heart of that group is not the girl. The heart of that group is Will. And I was like, that is amazing. I love that.
Yep. I'm preparing for a Garden of Destiny, which wrapped up its pregame, and now we're starting the actual game. I have two of my friends that I'm going to come in as a group with, and we're talking about like the dynamics of the triad. And I was just like, I am not your tambourine girl, and I am not your healer. I am going to blow up everything with fireballs. I'm just putting that out there right now, guys. And they're like, oh, okay, cool. Like, excellent. As long as we have that clear.
Well, I know it's getting better with younger folks for sure, which is good to hear going forward. I have one of my sons is 16, and he came out the other day and he's like, hey, so somebody I've been gaming with for years now is a girl, and I didn't know, but she told me, and she still hasn't told anyone else. She's like this, they do voice, and she's been disguising her voice. Like, and he's like, I don't even understand, why was she doing that? I'm like, dude, because people would harass the shit out of her. And he was just like, but
yeah,
I mean, I was just, I don't care, whatever. But it was really nice that he thought that. He was just like, he just thought that was stupid, you know, like, why would she be even hiding it, and why would people give her grief? He's like, she's playing with me, so now she's like at least got one dude in the group, and I think they're playing shooters and stuff, who she knows isn't judging her, and she, but it's making her slip in voice chat, like she's forgetting to put the voice on.
Well, hopefully she'll feel more comfortable knowing, and hopefully the rest of them won't jump on her case about it or give her crap just because, oh, you're a girl. From personal experience, when I started doing the online gaming, mostly with World of Warcraft, I never used voice. Like, I always just typed in the chat box, and I would actually get, like, some of my guild leaders would be like, why don't you just use voice to chat? It's easier. I'm like, I just don't want to deal with it. It's, I don't want to hear about
it. But even if she does have trouble with that, it kind of sounds like your son will go to bat for her, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was like, I felt good about that. Like, if now if they're playing together and she slips, I know he'll have her back, because he just had a very strong feeling that was some dumb shit to even have to worry about. I've been lucky in WoW and stuff. I mean, we had a Mumble server for a while. I'd get an event. It never occurred to me, I guess. Maybe I just got lucky.
Yeah, I was just always really nervous about it. Like, it was one thing if I was playing with my guild and people, because my guild was mostly people I knew and like a couple people across the country. But if it was just like random pickup groups, I'm like, nope, no voice ever. Always chat. Just always typing it out. I don't want to even worry about it.
Huh. I don't know. Maybe I just don't give a fuck because I just have right back at him if any of that shit ever started. And with the podcast, though, that was something we were in the beginning. We talked about when we were starting it, like, all right, how are we going to handle this? You know, if we get those trolls. And that hasn't happened either. Have you guys gotten any like weird feedback from people being assholes about you being women?
No,
it's not... been wonderful, actually.
Yeah, Joey has gotten some feedback on other things. Like, we spoke about it in one of our casts about her, like when she was going to run that Mad About the Boy.
Mm-hmm.
She got some trolls, but like us specifically as Glitter Dice, we've had just really nice feedback.
Yeah, the only weird one we got was somebody, when we first started having guests on, we're like, you're having a male guest. Like, and? Like, well, I didn't think that that's what you were doing. Like, when did we ever say, people. I mean, why would we not have male guests? We're not like weird. God, you listen to Rush Limbaugh or something? Shit.
We're not trying to split up and ignore half the population. We're just trying to make sure both halves of the population have an equal voice.
Exactly. Like, we don't have to do everything. And then, oh no, there was another weird one. I wasn't on that episode, so I almost forgot. Jen and Chris did an online dating topic. Mm-hmm. And I had never done that at the time. So I stepped out, and they were talking about all the shit there. And somebody wrote in with, like, you didn't give the male perspective. How, like, exactly that was that going to
happen? That wasn't the point.
Like, what are we supposed to create a fake dude profile and catfish someone to find your point of view? Like, you can come on the show if you want. Yeah, they never responded to that invite.
No, of course not.
Who knows? Maybe they're still listening, and I'm sorry, but... You know, you gave
that
a shit.
That was weird.
So you get some shit back. So I guess, it's been lovely, lovely having you guys on. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no. You're problem. Welcome. This has been wonderful. Thank you so much for having us.
It's pretty awesome. I like it. Like it. I like your podcast. I've been listening. I'm not caught up. Working on it. Apple changed my iTunes podcasting app, and it's pissing me off. I'm having really trouble catch up with anything because they just, I don't know, bad interface. So anyone who is interested in chiming in on our topics or any topics, or if you have ideas for topics, please email us at geekgrills@gmail.com or give us a ring at 508-474-5577. I might even pick up the phone. So, Grills, what are you most anticipating coming up?
Well, Matthew and I, right after we finish recording, are going to go see the Murder on the Orient Express. I'm super excited about that. It's been many, many, many years since I watched the original or read the book, so I don't remember who the murderer is. So I'm going in no idea. And I'm very excited. I actually really love mysteries. I have, like, the entire collection of the Sherlock Holmes mysteries. Like, I have a special book that has them, like, the way they were formatted in the original, like, newsprint. I love mysteries. So I'm really looking forward to that movie. And I'm looking forward to only having to work 3 days next week because it's a holiday.
Yay!
Woohoo! My poor husband has to work from home with the kids here on vacation.
Oof, no.
So what do you got coming up, Kelly?
I'm really looking forward to the holiday. My husband's side of the family, they do a thing called Thanksmas, because he usually only can get together once. So it's a combination of Thanksgiving and Christmas all in one quick weekend. So we're going up to, and then I usually work on the weekends, so this is the first time in years that I'm going to be able to go up and spend this with them, which I'm really excited about. And usually we have it breaks down in the board games, like Apples and Apples or whatnot, just depending on age range of the children, which should be significantly older now. So who knows? Maybe Cards Against Humanity. I'm sure that won't be awkward.
Yeah, I recommend Snake Oil. It's a little more friendly for multiple age groups.
Excellent. Yeah, we've had good luck with Apples to Apples, but I think some of the last time I was there, I think some of the kids were like getting want to do something else. So I'm sure we'll figure it out. We've got a good number of different games that we can bring up as well. So
there you go. My husband's family does Uno for that sort of thing.
Uno.
Uno. I really don't like Uno. So I also am looking forward to Thanksgiving. Although it was awesome last night to have a turkey dinner and I didn't have to cook, I do like to cook. So I'll be fetching my son from NC State. I haven't seen him since, like, oh my God, like February. It's been way, way too long.
So, wow.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward. Today my Facebook feed came up with a picture of him being here last year for the holiday and us playing Betrayal on House of the Hill.
Oh, cool.
I love Betrayal.
Yeah, so I'm sure we'll be playing some cool games. I'm like really tempted to go buy a new game. Just I'll be working on...
I recommend Dixit if you're looking for a new game, if you haven't played that. It's a good game.
Dixit?
Dixit. It is a game where you have cards that have basically paintings on them, and you look at your painting, and you come up with a descriptor for it. But it has to be general enough that the other people who have their cards could pick one of them to possibly be it, but it has to be specific enough that they can find it amongst all the other paintings. It's really interesting. It's really cool. And it's very visual.
You don't want... Oh, go ahead.
How do you spell it?
D-I-X-I-T.
Okay.
Yeah, the goal is to get like one or two people to pick your card. But if everybody picks your card, you get no points. But if nobody picks your card, again, you get no points. And I'm almost convinced that they're giving you like a dollar kickback every time you talk about this game.
Nope. I just love it.
Yeah, I think people are starting to feel that way about me and Snake Oil, because like anybody who ever asks, I tell them, get that game. But with the name Dixit, it's a little phonetically odd. Yeah, I looked over and my husband was making an interesting face.
I know. I don't know why they picked... I'm sure there's some sort of artsy reason why they picked that name. I've had people look at me before going, what did you just say? I'm like, I promise, it's not... It's good.
Play Dixit with your family today. okay, so sorry, I'm also be working on some sewing projects. I gotta get on the ball with these hot cold packs I'm making for all my nerd friends with nerd fabric. To everyone out there, oh, you want to say?
I just wanted to know what a hot cold pack is.
If you can buy them. They're filled with like rice or some kind of grain, and you can throw it in the microwave and use it as a hot pack, or you can throw it in the freezer and use it as a cold pack.
Oh, I have one of those made out of a sock. I just call it my bean sock because.
Well, yep. I had a chiropractor visit where he told me to ice stuff, and then I stopped at a friend's house on the way home, and she was like, oh, you can borrow this. And I was like, oh, I used to have one of those. Oh, that's awesome. I'll take it home. Forgot to take it home. But I got here. I was like, well, you know what? I have fabric and rice and a sewing machine. So I just made one.
Yep.
And my son kind of adopted it. He likes to sleep with it cold. And then I made an NC State fabric one for my son who's at college. And I made my... 16-year-old asked me for one last week, so I was like, I got Adventure Time fabric, I'll make one. But it struck me the other day, I was like, this is good gifting. Like, I've got TARDIS fabric, and I've got, like, My Little Pony, and Pokemon, and I know the sports teams friends like, and I can whip off a bunch of these fairly inexpensively and have really cool gifts that are useful. I like useful and frivolous mixtures for gifts.
Yes.
With the handmade bonus.
Yeah.
And cheap.
Yep.
And cheap.
They don't need to know that part.
Right. Well, I mean, it's not theoretically cheap with the fabric, but I've been hoarding it. So at this point, it's like written off as not costing, right?
Right.
So I'm looking forward to getting some of that out of the way. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Yarn people, too. Jeez.
Yep. I have a stash. I don't have a hoard. I have a stash. There's a difference. I'm not that bad yet.
I get it. It's me and the jewelry. I make jewelry. So I have all these beads and stuff. And it's like, they will go out back into the world eventually. So I'm not hoarding. It was part of the plan. Mm-hmm.
I hoard so many art supplies. I admit it.
Well, thank you for being here, patrons. Thank you very much for all of your support over the last, been almost a year and a half now. We really could use more of you. Our growth has slowed, and we need help paying these bills. If you will visit patreon.com/grills, take a look. There are some perks, maybe get you some free games. Your feedback is always welcome. We invite you into our Slack and talk to us when we're around, which is nice. We do still have some game codes to give away when you sign up. iTunes reviews are a free way to help out our podcast. Helps other people find us. Get us a little higher up in the list. Maybe get us up on the front page someday and change my life. So we go to iTunes, look for Geek Girls Podcast, and leave us a review or some stars. I truly appreciate it. So where can we find you girls on the interwebs, besides the fact that people should definitely check out the Glitter Dice podcast and subscribe to that?
Well, we've got an email at it's a glitterdicepodcast@gmail.com. We're on Twitter, so you can tweet us at glitterdicepc. We also have an Instagram where we, and by we I mean I, usually post some behind the scenes pictures when we're recording. And you just search Glitter Dice Podcast and you'll find us on Instagram.
And we also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/glitterdicepodcast, and a Tumblr, glitterdicepodcasttumblr.com.
I can be reached at 9 of 12 on Twitter and Twitch, and you can hear me on the Part-Time Gamers podcast as well. The Jen was not with us today, but she can be reached at The Jen Says on Twitter, and you can find her streaming at twitch.tv/TheJenPlays. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
GG.
If you enjoyed the show and have the quill skill to shriek speech, leave us a 5-star unique critique on iTunes or thrill us with the size of your handbill by spilling goodwill into our tills at patreon.com/grills. We can also be found windmilling around Facebook and YouTube at facebook.com/geekgrills and youtube.com/geekgrills, where we like to chill. Tweet your siren songs where the throngs belong on Twitter at geekgrills, where we're dressed to kill. For more info on the show, though, go to geekgrills.com, where you can find previous episodes, show notes, and current contest information. Send us your psalms and qualms to geekgrills@gmail.com or give us a ring at 508-474-5577, where we can hear your lovely voice sing the zing thing. Thanks for listening.